The next morning, waking in her own bed in her own room, with sunlight bright on the walls, she was surprised by a sense of peace. She had suffered enough bad dreams in this bed. She had been half afraid the nightmares would recur. Perhaps coming home had completed some sort of necessary ritual, and they were forever banished. With that thought, she hurried down to breakfast, where her stepmother offered the morning grace, and then out into the cool gold of a spring morning. She passed the kitchen gardens and the chicken runs, where every hen seemed to be clucking her readiness to lay eggs, and every rooster crowed defiance at the others. The great stables smelled, as always, of horses and oats and hay, pungencies that Esme found comforting after all these years. She walked down the stone-flagged aisle, the great arches opening to her left, into one of the exercise yards. On her right, rows of stalls with the dark, narrow heads of horses peering out. A groom came out of a tack room looking confused.
Yes, dama?
Good morning. We haven't met. I am Esme Suiza.
Oh, forgive me, dama. Of course, I have heard much about you. Welcome home.
Thank you. I was wondering, my cousin Lucy mentioned a mare she'd looked at. That Olin showed her?
Ah, the Vasexi daughter. Down here, dama, if you'll follow me. Excellent bloodlines, that one, and has done very well in training so far. That is why the general chose her for your foundation herd.
Outside the mare's stall, a twist of blue and silver. Esme looked down the row and saw more such twists. This was her herd, picked by her father, and although she could exchange them, it would shame him. But to make a gift of one mare to Lucy, that would be acceptable, she hoped.
Here, dama.
The mare had her rump to the door, but when the groom clucked, she swung round. Esme recognized the qualities for which her father had chosen the horse. The good legs and feet, the depth of heart girth, the strong back and hindquarters, the long, limber neck and well-bred head. Solid dark brown, just lighter than black. The groom reached for the halter that hung beside the stall.
You would like to see her move?
Yes, thank you.
The groom led the mare out of the stall, across the aisle, and out into the courtyard. There, in the open ring, the groom put the mare through her paces, which accorded with her confirmation. A long, low walk, a sweeping trot, and long, level canter. This was a horse to cover the ground mile after mile, and yet she would be handy as well. A good mare. If only Esme cared particularly.
I'm sorry I was rude. She's a lovely mare, and you deserve her.
Lucy's face was in the arch's shadow. Esme walked nearer. Lucy had been crying.
Not really. I'm sure you heard all about my regrettable attitude towards horses back when I left.
I inherited your trail horse.
Esme had not thought about old Red, had that been his name? In years.
Good.
You don't mind?
Why should I mind? I left home. I couldn't expect the horse to go unused.
They didn't let anyone ride him for a year.
So they thought I might flunk out and come back?
Oh, of course not. It's just...
Of course they did. But I didn't fail, and I didn't come back. I'm glad you got that horse. You seem to have inherited the family gift.
I can't believe you really haven't...
I can't believe anyone really wants to stay on one planet, even when it feels right.
Lucy flung out an arm.
But it's not crowded. There is so much space. You can ride for hours.
Esme felt the familiar tension in her shoulders. Yes, she could ride for hours and never come to a border she need worry about, but she could not eat a meal without wondering if some old family grievance was about to explode. She turned to Lucy, whose eyes kept following the mare.
Lucy, would you do me a favor?
I suppose.
Take the mare.
Esme almost laughed at the shock on Lucy's face.
Take the mare. You want her, I don't. I'll square it with Papa Stefano with Father.
I can't.
You can. If that's my mare, I can do what I want with her, and what I want to do is to give her away because I'm going back to Fleet. And that mare deserves an owner who will train her, ride her, breed her.
But your herd!
I don't need a herd. It's enough to know I have my little valley to come home to. What would I do with a herd?
You're serious.
Yes, I'm serious. She's yours. Play polo on her, race her, breed her, whatever. She's yours, not mine.
I don't understand you, but I do want her.
Of course you do.
Esme felt a century older at least. Embarrassment hit then. Had she seemed this young to Commander Serrano, to everyone who had a decade or more on her? Probably.
Listen, let's go for a ride. I'll need to get back in shape if I'm going to visit the valley.
Esme couldn't yet say my valley, even to Lucy.
You could ride her, if you wanted.
Heavens no. I need one of the school horses, something solid and dependable. I don't get any riding in Fleet.
Grooms tacked up the horses, and they rode out toward the front fields between the rows of fruit trees. Esme watched Lucy on the mare. Lucy rode as if her spine were rooted into the horse's spine, as if they were one being. Esme, on a stolid gelding with gray around its eyes and muzzle, felt her hip joints creaking as she trotted. As Lucy cantered the mare in circles around Esme, she decided to go the whole way.
Lucy, what are you planning to do?
Win a championship with this mare?
In the long run. Strategy, cousin.
Oh.
Lucy halted the mare and sat silently a moment, obviously wondering how much to tell her older cousin. Is she safe? Was written on her face as if with a marker.
I have a reason for asking.
Well, I was going to try for the vet course at the Poly, though Mother wants me to study something more appropriate at the university. I know there is no chance of getting on the estate staff here, but if I qualified, I might somewhere else.
I suspected as much.
I am not just dreaming.
I know that. Get the hump out of your back. You're serious. Just as I was serious. And nobody believed me either. That's why I had the idea.
What idea?
Esme nudged her horse, and it ambled over to Lucy's mare.
As you know, my father gave me a herd. The last thing I need is a herd. But if I try to give it back, he'll be hurt, and I'll hear about it forever.
So?
So, I need someone to manage my herd. Someone who'll make sure that the mares go to the right stallions, that the foals get the right training, and are actually put on the market, and so forth. I would expect to compensate the manager, of course. The eye of the master fattens the herd, and I will be far away for a very long time.
You are thinking of me? It is too much the mare and...
I like the way you handle her. It's how I'd want my horses handled, if I wanted horses at all. And since I have them, that's what I'd like. You could save up the money for school, and I know from experience that it impresses them if you fund your own escape. And you'd get the experience.
I'll do it.
Despite herself, Esme thought back to the previous night's conversation. Here was someone for whom prudence could never swamp enthusiasm.
You didn't ask what I'm paying, and you should always find that out first. What it's going to cost, and what you're going to get.
It doesn't matter. It's the chance.
It matters. Chances aren't what they seem.
Then, at the look on Lucy's face, she stopped herself. Why was she being negative when she had just been admiring Lucy's impetuosity?
Sorry. Here's what I want from you. A fair accounting of costs and income. Midsummer. That should give you time to ride it up after the full crop arrives.
But how much?
You didn't ask before. I'll decide later. Maybe tomorrow.
Esme nudged her mount and started off toward the distant line of trees beyond the canter track. Her cousin followed. After lunch, Esme lingered in the kitchen over a second piece of red nut pie smothered in real cream. A servant entered.
Retired soldier Sebastian Coron, dama, requests a few moments of your time.
She had forgotten about the old man at the reception.
Of course I'll see him.
Esme wiped the last of the pie from her mouth and went out to the hall, where Coron stood at ease, watching one of the younger cousins practice the piano, with Sani standing by. Esme stepped forward to shake his hand.
Reminds me of you, Esme.
He reminds me of hours of misery. The untalented and unrhythmic should never be forced to go beyond learning a few scales. Once we've admitted how hard it is, we should be let off.
Well, you know, it's in the old law.
It was, though Esme had never understood why every child, with or without ability or interest, should be forced through 10 years of musical training on a minimum of 4 instruments. They didn't make all children learn soldiering.
Let's go into the sitting room.
Esme led Coron to the front room, where women of the family usually received guests.
Would you like tea or something to drink?
Without waiting for an answer, she rang. She knew that with his arrival, the kitchen staff would have started preparing the tray with his favorites, whatever they were.
The Serrano legacy, once a hero, is continued on the next CD.